The congregation, please stand. Christmas is that wonderful time of the year when we sing, "Come thou long expected Jesus," even though we know he has already come. And joy to the world, even though we know the world is not yet completely joyful. But that first Christmas was the advent of our hope that such a time will one day come. And we celebrate that hope. In the December 1925 issue of the Atlantic Monthly, Joseph Newton began a Christmas article by saying, only God could have thought of Christmas. And I think he was right. Can you imagine how we would have planned it? Had we been God, looking down on the world we had made, seeing its people, our highest creation, living so pointlessly, wandering in hopelessness, warring with each other, squandering the gift of life. How would we have presented our world with a message of hope and peace? I think it's safe to say that our plan would not have included a young girl in Nazareth making plans to marry a carpenter. And I'm pretty sure it would not have occurred to us to make our announcement in a little town nobody ever heard of in the hills of Judea. In our plan, I don't think there would have been shepherds watching their flocks by night. I think there would have been no stable, no manger. In fact, I'm pretty sure that our version wouldn't have included a baby at all. No, only God could have thought of Christmas. Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light. The poet's way of describing the miracle of God's Christmas. The power of darkness breaking. Our peace eternal making. And so it was, the Bible says, in the fullness of time, in God's plan, a child was born, and his mother called him Jesus. What an astounding way for God to give us hope and peace. Christ the babe was born for you, and it was Christmas for the very first time. Before that night, there was no joy to the world, no harking of herald angels, no reason to celebrate. Evergreen trees were growing in the woods, but nobody went to get them. Holly berries were red. Ivy was green, and mistletoe grew in the treetops, but nobody paid any attention. December 25th came and went, just like the 23rd and the 29th. There were no carols to sing, no cards to send, no gifts to give, because the gift had not yet been given. stable walls and manger bed, lowly beasts around him. Long the world its Savior sought, and this is where they found him. No, that would not have been our plan, but it was God's plan. And there in the manger lies our hope, our peace, our joy. Christmas has become for us a joyful Alleluia time, a glory to God time, a peace on earth time. But you watch the news, you read the papers. The time of goodwill and peace on earth hasn't fully come, has it? But because of that birth in Bethlehem, that promised peace is available to us today. And because the child was born, we have been given the hope that the peace and goodwill Christmas promises will one day be shared by all the people of this earth. Christmas, we know, is a fact, but it is also a faith. It is history, but it is also prophecy, giving us a vision of an order of life not yet attained. And it may not be in our day, not in many days perhaps, but the promise will at last be fulfilled. And that is why we celebrate the advent of hope into our world. That is why we sing about the birth of the promise of peace. In other seasons, we will remember his life, his work, his teachings, his death and resurrection. But today we want simply to be the faithful, coming to adore him, Christ the Lord. That is, I think, God's plan for our Christmas this year. Will the congregation please stand? The child in the manger, whom you adore, go with you now to be your constant hope and peace. In the words of Isaiah, I remind you, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.